Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Welcome back, Rock Movers. Today's guest is someone that I just know our audience is absolutely going to love because I love her, so I know you will. Danielle is a childhood trauma survivor turned trauma-informed life coach. She's a speaker, an author, and the founder of Victorious Souls. She's also the CEO of 4F Media, where she helps executives and organizations reclaim their wellness and inherent value. See, she is absolutely speaking my language. She's authored 5 books, including one for children that we get to talk about during the show. And you're absolutely going to love her. She also has a book called Emerging with Wings. So we talk about the wings in my camera screen. And you're just absolutely going to love her mantra of love yourself from survive to thrive. She's known as the lady on the internet who loves you. And she is our rock moving guest today. Without further ado, here is Danielle Burnock. Welcome back, rock movers. Today's guest, as I said, you're going to love her because she speaks our language and her book, Emerging with Wings, is absolutely something that I just obviously, if you're watching this, love because of the wings behind me in the screen. So, a fellow wing lover and a trauma survivor. Thank you, Danielle, for being with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm excited.
Well, we're going to have a great conversation. I just know it. I feel it. So we're just going to dive right in. So tell me and tell our listeners just a little of your story about the rocks in your life and maybe just the biggest one or the one that you want to share today and how it has impacted you.
The biggest rock in my life would be the pile of childhood trauma. Because there was a pile of it. It wasn't just one thing that happened. It was multiple things that happened that were layer upon layer upon layer. If you want to think about it in terms of a rock, you know, there's rocks that have those different layers in them.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of trauma I had, was layer upon layer from very small all the way up through and into adulthood. So that was the rock that I needed to move, was all the weight and side effects and emotional havoc that did in my life. I needed to get that out of my life.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've experienced this as well. It's not exclusively the things that happened. It's the way we feel about them, how they've impacted our thinking and the story about us that we create around them, just trying to navigate and mitigate and make sense of what the people we trusted chose to do. And so through the middle of all of that chaos and trauma and the rocks and the heaviness, emerge this beautiful soul who is now using her story, her trauma, her wounds, and healing them and using those lessons to help others. How did that story happen? Because that's the really important story that we want to come away with today.
Exactly. And you explained that so well about how we respond to what happens to us. Because trauma is not what happened to us. That's called a trauma exposure. It's an experience. It happens outside of our body. But trauma actually takes place inside the body, in the brain, in the body, our soul, where we have all those side effects, like you said, how we dealt with it, how we think about it, how we feel about it, how we respond because of it. And I do what I do today because of that first book. I healed a lot, and I had thought about writing a book, because it took a long time for me to heal. It was a very, very long journey because I didn't know what was wrong with me and I didn't know how to get help. and help wasn't readily available while I was going through that. There's so much more help in the world now.
Right. Yeah. I've noticed that too. Like it's common knowledge today that people have trauma. Like we talk about it, which I love that our generation, and I say our because I believe that our generation was the instigator to start saying this is not okay. And then the next generation have seen us do the work and we create language around it so that they have the words to say to identify what's going on. Like we didn't call it trauma back then. Like it was just life. Like life just be lifing. And it was hard. And now it's
life
like, no.
Life just be life, and I like that.
Yeah, no, that's not just life. Like, that's a traumatic life, and that's abuse, and that's not okay. And that has nothing to do with you or your value or what you deserve. Like, that was all about that person and how they chose to react to their traumas and the traumas that that person had imposed on them from their traumas. And we have this lovely little cycle that we keep carrying on. And have you heard
the
saying? Yeah. Somebody said, you know, I can't remember where I saw it first, but alcohol abuse ran in my family until it ran into me. And, you know, when that abuse, which was carried on and perpetuated, ran into me, it stopped. And so mine was just not abuse specifically, but trauma, you know, that perpetuating that sense of loss and that sense of disconnect and, all the things. So what was the lessons that you've learned from yours that you're now using in your coaching, in the stories, in all of the beautiful things? Because I'm looking at your list of accolades and I'm just like, this woman is doing some amazing things with her audiobook, Love's Manifesto, Childhood Trauma Assessment. You have your Emerging with Wings book. And do you have a podcast as well?
I had a podcast for 3 seasons. It's still up there. It's got 365 episodes that people can revisit. And over 200 of those are interviews with people around the world sharing their stories and how they have overcome all the different kinds of trauma. The lessons that I have learned are vast. My process that I use with people, my coaching and in my workshops, I have the acronym SELF. And I chose that with great intention. I asked God how he helped me heal. And he showed me how, and then we created an acronym from that. It stands for See, Expose, Love, and Free. But I used the word SELF because when someone's been through trauma, they lose their sense of self or their identity. They don't know who they are anymore. So I had that. But on top of that, because I suffered multiple kinds of trauma, 3 being religious trauma, spiritual trauma, and church hurt. Those are 3 different things. My sense of self was attacked in a spiritual way as well.
Wow. One's really deep too, because that's a basis for our identity.
Right. Spiritual trauma attacks your sense of existence. That existential. Good, I said the word right. I didn't feel I had the right to exist because of the trauma in my life. So I tried to kill myself very slowly and painfully because I thought that's what I deserved. But myself is precious in the eyes of God. God created us on purpose. You have value. I have value. Listener, you have value. You have inherent value simply because you exist. God gave you life. You have the right to exist yourself.
I just want to throw down a mic. Like, that's a mic drop because I say that all the time. I literally created a program that's part of my coaching around it's indisputable. We can't argue that because God said, like, end of story, whole sentence, exclamation point. I love that you're coming from that same place. And I feel like God just perpetuated my message and reaffirmed it, like mirrored it back to me in such a loving way. So sorry to interrupt, but I'm just like, that's so good.
That feels good to me because there are still religious circles that attack the self and they use a scripture to do it. And I had that attack me. And so I am helping people rebuild their self, their identity, that they have the right to exist, that God created on purpose. He doesn't want to obliterate them. You come to Jesus and then you vanish. It's not, that's a misunderstanding and a manipulation of the scriptures. That's not what it says. Yeah. So self is my process because I want to fill and feed that sense of self. Now, I'm supposed to love one another as you love yourself, right? And if you don't love yourself, how are you supposed to love other people? So that's one of the lessons that I perpetuate in what I do. And so the good. People have value. You matter. We are deeply loved. We are deeply loved. I took ownership of a hashtag a few years back, that lady on the internet who loves you. And I take that very seriously because that's our greatest need, is the need to be loved. Again, I said we were created in the image of God. Well, God is love. So the very fabric of our being is made out of love. It is no wonder that love is our greatest need. People need to know it. They need to believe it. They need to hear it. And so I go online all the time to say, I love you. And then people say, how can you love me? You don't know me. I can love you because I choose to love you, because you are worthy of love. And I grew up feeling unloved, unwanted, worthless. One of the other kinds of trauma I had was called childhood emotional neglect, which is not something that happens to a person. It's something that didn't happen, that needed to happen. And so there's an empty space. So it's not something you can look at and see. Uh-huh. It's something that's invisible. But you recognize it through the side effects. That's why I had that assessment, to see how much is your childhood affecting you now. And that's when a child doesn't get the nurture that they need. And every child needs a different amount. And no parent is perfect. But there's kind of like a line of enough. Mm-hmm. You know, did it good enough. You know, and I know my parents did their best with what they had.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough for what I needed.
Yeah.
And it's hard to climb over that. You feel like you're attacking your parents.
Yes,
and I really struggled to own the truth of that. And I know other people do. So I bring it up. And I have a math equation, I call it, in my book. It's no malice does not equal no harm.
That's so true. And
there doesn't have to be malice. They accidentally traumatized me.
Yeah. And both, this is the power of and. I love living in this land of and. Because we try to put everything in silos, and if this exists, then this can't. And that is purely hogwash. It's not true, because you can love your parents and have trauma. You can have good people who do make choices that have bad consequences. Mm-hmm. Like, both of those can exist at the same time, as innocent as the consequences may initially be. They can still have significant impact.
Right.
I talk about, you know, my adoption journey, and as a child, you know, orphaned at birth and left in a hospital, my mother, birth mom, was told that I was already adopted. Like, they took me from her and that I was already gone and adopted. And so, because she changed her mind at the last minute, they did not allow her to keep me. And I was left with the hospital in, or somewhere, I assume it's the hospital, for a couple of months before my adopted family was connected and came and got me. Hey, Rock Movers, just a quick meditation break to let you know that there are some new meditations over on my YouTube channel, Coach Karen Gray, especially for you. From my rock moving community, check them out. This voice can put you to bed every night, wake you up every morning, or create a custom meditation or affirmation for your 2025 goals. So if you're interested, reach out. I am here to support you. And now let's get back to the show with Danielle.
My birth mom was told that I was going to be picked up, that I would be adopted by a young Irish Catholic family, because she was Irish Catholic, who could not have children. That's what she had requested. 2 months later, I was adopted by a Baptist family who had two older children. boys, and they lived in New Mexico. My mom was from Ohio. She had gone to New Mexico because her brother was in the Air Force in Alamogordo. And she stayed with him for 2 months. I don't know where I was. There's no record specifically. But my family said that I was such a good baby, I never cried. And that they just remarked how, you know, I was just such an easy baby. And now we know that I didn't cry because of the trauma response. I knew, I had learned by 2 months old, that crying did not get help. So I quit crying. Mm-hmm. And that same response, that same lesson was that I was always just really sad. I just always, my entire life, felt sad. And I thought that, you know, finding my biological family would fix all of that. And, you know, we're taught somehow along the way that the answers are always outside of us, or somehow we look for that silver bullet. And I'm sure you've learned in your journey, all of the answers are inside of us. All of them are between us and God and the journey that we're here to fulfill, not externally from anyone else. And it only took me 45 years to figure that out.
I wrote my book. I started writing when I was 54. So, yeah, that's why my primary clients, most of my clients, are in midlife. Yeah. Because that's when people get to the age where they're ready to deal with things. They start learning things. It's a pivotal time. So the majority of my clients are in midlife. That's when they make that change to, okay, I want to do something about it, or there's something going on and I don't know what it is. I went into counseling to write that first book, and I learned the whole second half of the book. I thought I'd already healed of everything. Well, I was But how my counselor put it when I was explaining something to her that I thought was normal, going on the way to explain something else, she stopped me, and she didn't know what childhood emotional neglect was by the term, but she defined it as something went terribly wrong.
Yep.
Something went terribly wrong. So if you who are listening, something went terribly wrong, maybe you need a counselor or a coach like myself. But sometimes we don't even know that something went terribly wrong. Like, you just knew that you were sick. You didn't know why. Right. I didn't know why I was explaining this stuff to my counselor. I didn't know anything had gone terribly wrong. I thought it was normal. It wasn't. It was childhood emotional neglect. It planted that seed in me that I was not loved, I was not wanted, and I had no value. And I just believed that and expected that everywhere. I even got it at church. I got it at school, everywhere. And the repetition of the rejection and the humiliation and the shaming and the things that took place in my life and the bully that used my name against myself. I legally changed my first name in 1988 because it was associated with trauma. And it was my mother who actually suggested I change my name, which really surprised me. But this is another lesson I'd like to share with people. Share hope. Because we talked about parents, and we don't have to, you know, blame them per se. We do have to find the origination of the problem, which that's initial blame. But then, you know, we don't beat it out of them or anything like that.
Right.
Then we deal with the after effects. Well, there came a point in my life when my mother and I started to discuss things. Mm. I lost my dad as a child, so I never had any chance to do any after work with my dad. But with my mother later, we had a very rocky relationship because we both were severely traumatized and didn't even know it.
Yeah.
So we had a very rocky relationship. She had been very manipulative, and we all had our things. I had my things too. But one day she came to me and she said, "Do you want to be friends?" And I'm like, "Wow, I like that idea. I said, yes." You know, she took me out to lunch, asked me that, and I said, yes. And then we proceeded to work at that. Neither one of us knew what we were doing. But what we did do, and this is simple and hard. It's not easy, but it's simple.
Yeah.
Is we both were committed to building a relationship and healing our relationship. And because of that common commitment, we worked our way through.
What
we talked
gift.
About all the things. We both unpacked the trauma of our shared lifetime together. The loss of my grandmother, the loss of my dad, the loss of my brother. And then it was the loss of her mother, the loss of her husband, and the loss of her son. And as we unpacked that, we both got an epiphany. Those are different kinds of relationships. We didn't lose the same relationships. We lost the same person, but it was a different relationship. And neither one of us realized that till we were discussing that. We talked about, well, when you did this, and that really upset me. Well, I did it because of this. Oh, well, that makes sense. I would have done that. Oh, I can really see that. And we saw each other's perspective. I have an article on my website about bridging the perception gap. Because we're seeing from two completely different vantage points.
Right.
Looking at the same mountain, so to speak. But if you're on the north and you're on the south, you're seeing something different.
Yeah, we all look at it through our lens.
Yeah.
And it's our lenses tinted by our personal experience. So even though you've been walking this similar path, living in the same house, you saw it from two different or through two different lenses. That's I love the vantage point perspective.
Right.
That's so good too.
But the way I put it is I said we built a bridge between each other. And when my mother passed, we were very close. And I had the pleasure and answered prayer that I was sitting with her, holding her hand when she passed. It was, I had prayed about it because she got sick. And that's a whole other story I could get into. I did a video on my birthday this year because of doing work after what had happened to her and something the Lord had told me. And I'm just so thankful. If you do the work, then you will get the results. And my mother dealt with, you know, the shared trauma of that time with me. We worked through stuff like that together, but she had a whole host of trauma of her own before she even got married, which had never been addressed or dealt with. So she suffered the side effects of that, both emotionally and physically, because of that.
Yeah. And we know cognitively that it's hurt people who hurt people, and not necessarily aware cognitively of that pain being the root of what's, you know, causing the impact. So again, you know, we can choose not one day longer. I'm going to heal and stop this chain of events, this perpetuating trauma. So today you've gone through all of that. You've healed through all of that. You've seen the lessons, pulled the rocks out. And now you're laying those rocks down and creating a path where other people are following you. I love painting this picture because this is the true work of our human existence, to take what's happened to us, see it as happening for us, and then begin to use it for others. And so what does that look like today for you? What are you doing for others? And I want to share this. Is it going to show? There we go. Your website, because this is where they can find all the things, but tell us what they're going to find on there.
Well, I have a number of free resources at my website. I have that childhood trauma assessment that's free to take. I have my free audiobook, Love's Manifesto. That's what is love, why we don't believe it, and what it takes to convince us. It's a short audiobook too, but it's free. I also have coaching. I have life coaching for someone who just wants to improve their life, but I have trauma-informed coaching for those dealing with crisis and things that they don't understand and how maybe they've been through counseling already. I've had a number of clients who had already been through counseling and they still needed help. And they said that I really helped them in a way that other therapies had not helped them. So I'm not a counselor. So I can't do those counselor things like the EMDR and all those kind of things. So if you need that, I would say, please get yourself a counselor. That's where you need to start. I also have books, multiple books on my website. I have courses that I offer. I do public speaking and I facilitate workshops. I have workshops of mental health as a result of trauma, how to love yourself, how to calm yourself, and the seven different kinds of chaos that we deal with and how it manifests in our lives, and helping people to take ownership of their wellness, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and that leads to physically, to take ownership of the truth. Because so much of what happens in our life is we believe lies. We believe lies. And those lies play out in our life because behavior follows belief. You know, we do what we believe. It's just natural. So we need to learn the truth. You know, you are deeply loved. That's the truth. You might believe you're not lovable. You are lovable. You might believe that you don't have value. You do have value. You might think that God's mad at you. He's not mad at you. You might feel like you have no purpose. You have purpose. These are some of the simple, you know, from lie to truth, but simple doesn't always mean easy because there is a reprogramming of our mind. We need to reteach ourselves the truth. We need to get it in there little by little. It's why my self-process is a cycle that we go through repetitively. You didn't learn your multiplication tables when they told you once. You had to memorize them. You had to practice them. People who play a musical instrument, they have to practice it over and over again. So if you want to know who you are and know your value and know your love, there's going to be work to get to build that on the inside of you. And I love to help people do that. I love when I see someone's face light up when they see something and understand something that they didn't before.
It just when you see the light come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So help our listeners understand the difference between trauma-informed coaching and just coaching, because there's a line, there's a delineation there. And I want to make sure if you see someone and they're like a competence coach, right? So for example, I coach people through value, competence, self-worth, but I'm not a trauma-informed coach. So Danielle is a trauma-informed coach. The difference in what you do would be what?
I understand what trauma is, the side effects of it, what's happening in the body, and how to identify those things, validate those things, and so to heal them so that it's not a thing anymore.
So you're able to help them identify where the trauma sits, where it resides, the impact of it, and then how to navigate through that.
And where it came from.
Healness, wholeness.
You have to go to the root. That's where the E in self is. S is for C, which is about awareness, because you can't do anything about something you've never seen. You can't see. Like the childhood emotional neglect, you have to see it, even though it's an invisible thing. Then you have to expose. That means going to the root. Going to the root. If you don't go to the root, the thing just comes back. Then the L is for love, because we need to lavish love on ourselves to give us the courage and the strength to do the work. To go into F, which is free, which is your action steps to start putting your feet to what you're doing.
All so good. Well, again, I'm going to share your website so they can find it. So DanielleBurnock.com. You can also find her. All the links will be in the show notes, but your social media is also under DanielleBurnock.com. Is that correct? Make sure I didn't misstate that. What final words would you leave for our listeners today? Understand the impact of this perception that my parents weren't bad. So I didn't get physically hit, so I wasn't abused, so this can't be trauma. Because I think there's that misunderstanding sometimes. Because trauma looks like these people who have abuse. Like they've been beat up, you can see the bruises, you know that they've been locked in cages, whatever, right? We see the worst of the worst now on social media.
Well, see, the misunderstanding is, see, you were looking at the body and you're seeing bruises and things like that. Well, those things are not the trauma. Those are a side effect of the trauma. And so you can see that side effect of the trauma. Trauma is emotional and trauma is physical on the inside. There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And if you don't deal with your trauma, your trauma will deal with you because it will somatize. It goes internal. It does emotional sepsis if you don't do something about it. And trauma can actually kill people if they refuse to deal with it.
Right.
And no, our parents don't have to be intentional. There are parents who are intentionally abusing their children. There are parents that are terrible. But there are wonderful parents who just don't know what they're doing. They're doing the best that they know how. I was terrified to have kids myself because of this very thing. I have kids because of God. That's a whole other story. But I've had countless conversations with my children about this. And they encourage me all the time. And I tell them, if you ever need to talk about it, come to me. I imagine I'm guilty and I'm sorry. Let's talk it out.
Yeah.
And then we work to the other side, and I watch as my children raise their kids with so much emotional intelligence and kindness and sensitivity and even trauma-informedness that I am astounded by it.
Yeah, same. I get to watch my daughter now. She has a 5, a 2, and a 3-month-old. And to see her help the 5-year-old navigate through his feelings in such a healthy way. It's not, in Texas, we joke about snowflakes. It's not a snowflake way where we're ignoring the behavior. There's consequences to his behavior. But she's helping him navigate it first.
Yeah.
Before a consequence ever gets, you know, brought into the picture. And he's just such a healthy kid because of it. And he has so much love and kindness towards his sisters and helps them navigate their feelings. And he'll even catch me. You know, Mimi, that wasn't kind to say to yourself. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. I didn't even really realize I said that out loud. Like, that was dumb. You know, Mimi, that wasn't kind to say to yourself. Like, you're right. His name is Saxton. I'm like, you're right, Sax. Thank you for catching that. Mimi wasn't dumb. That was not the smartest, best decision I've ever made because it hurt my foot. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have walked outside without shoes on or whatever it was.
Yeah, separating who we are from what we do.
Yeah, and that's so powerful. I mean, a 5-year-old can see how powerful that is. So
I'm glad you brought up the whole thing about snowflakes, because a lot of people tend to skip to that. If you're being emotionally intelligent, and we are seeing kids out there that are, they're elevating the emotions to like the center of the universe of their life instead of where it goes as a part of their life.
Yeah.
They need to be able to go to the doctor and fill out their own forms.
Yeah. Yeah, we have perpetuated the extremes, like as humans do. We go to the extremes of all things. So there's an unhealthy way to express this, too. But I love that you've given your children and now grandchildren will have this language and get to have this level of healing that we didn't even know needed to be healed.
Yeah.
So well done, Mom. Well done. Good job.
I'll give God the glory for that. I mentioned grandkids. I have a book that one of my grandkids and I did together last year called Talk About Your Value. It's a
activity
book.
I see it behind
you.
I've been looking at it like, okay, she hasn't mentioned this one yet. I don't know what the taco book is, but I'm in Texas. I am all for tacos.
Like, it's an activity book for kids to build their self-esteem so that they can be stronger on the inside when the bullies rise up on the outside, because bullying is a huge thing, especially on social media.
Oh,
and a child and a teenager that knows who they are will be able to withstand that kind of abuse a lot better than someone who grows up nervous about themselves or self-conscious. They need to know that they have value, inherent value, as is right there.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Well, I'm going to have to get a copy of that one for my grandbabies because that just sounds like the best book. I love it. So thank you for creating all of these beautiful resources, for sharing your story with us, for how you serve. Our world just needs you so desperately.
Thank you.
So I'm so grateful that you did the work first, that you went first, and that now you're sharing those rocks and, not the rocks, the lessons of your rocks with others. We're going to leave those rocks down. We're not going to carry them anymore.
Leave the rocks.
But thank you so much, Danielle. We're so grateful to have you here. And please, I want to encourage you to connect with Danielle on social media, follow her, tap into her resources. If you are struggling with any of this, if this triggered you today and you couldn't listen to it, but somehow you managed to get to this point, or you came back and you're at this point, I want to encourage you to lean in when you want to lean out and ask for help, because that's why people like Danielle are here. So thank you again for just being such a light, and we will just continue to soak up all of this goodness and appreciate you so much. So thank you for being here on the show. Drop your comments, get connected, and keep moving those rocks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.